Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Have Spoken. I am Chuck P., alongside with my good friend Michael Grimion.
Hey, man. Good to be back.
Good to be back. We have returned. Now, a lot of you may be thinking from listening to previous episodes, how are they doing a podcast called We Have Spoken if there's no new season of The Mandalorian yet? Well, this is the path we are choosing to take with this podcast now.
This is our way.
Yes, this is our way. We Have Spoken will be the title of the podcast.
Correct.
And we are going to focus primarily on Disney Plus, Marvel, Star Wars related releases.
Absolutely.
Now, if there's something cool that we feel like we want to discuss on here, if DC actually puts out something worth talking about,
without a doubt,
we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll do a podcast about this 4-hour Justice League they just dropped.
Maybe.
But for the time being, Disney Plus is providing us with enough content that we can continue doing this podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, this decision was made after the fact. When WandaVision came out, we were like, man, we should do a show about WandaVision, but I don't want to start a whole new show and I don't want to start a whole new blah, blah, blah premise. And then we watched it and enjoyed it and talked about it together, but we didn't really, go into it kind of like we do on this show. And then here comes Falcon and Winter Soldier. Okay. We got to do a show.
Yes.
Got to. And we're like, okay, well, let's just stay with what we got. We Have Spoken. This is the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
It will change topics. Right now, it'll be Falcon Winter Soldier. There might be an episode, like you said, after this, which will be We Have Spoken, and it'll be about Zack Snyder Justice League.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, I feel like we'll definitely do the Loki series. We'll do the What If animated series when that's released. We'll do when they release the Black Widow movie. We'll do an episode about our thoughts on Black Widow.
If it's Marvel, if it's Star Wars, if it's Disney Plus, if it's in the, I guess, the realm of those kind of things, we're putting it on the table. We are multifaceted. We are not just one thing.
We are not a one-trick pony.
We are not.
I mean, we kind of are. We're just talking.
We have many tricks of things and stuff to talk about. And speaking of, I'm ready to talk about the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
All right. I am as well. Let's jump into episode 1 of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It starts off, the first thing I noticed about the overall episode in general, it doesn't feel like a TV show. It feels like a piece of a Marvel film. Like production-wise, it looked amazing. The opening sequence, it starts off when you see Sam in his home, I guess. I don't know. He's like ironing a shirt.
Right.
Puts on a jacket. He's in a suit. He's got the shield on the bed. He's putting it in a bag. And you're hearing the conversation he had with Steve at the end of Endgame about the shield. And then it cuts to a scene, to me, felt very reminiscent of the beginning of Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Had that same vibe to it.
Oh, Batroc was in it.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
It was the same guy both times.
Batroc.
Batroc the Leaper.
Batroc the Leaper.
Yes. So I was like, hey, it's the same guy that started out freaking Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And yes, that was very similar. Did you notice, and not to get ahead too much, very little music during the first big scene.
Oh, when they jumped out of the airplane.
Yeah. 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 Like when they're shooting through all the, and they're going, Rocky the Flying Squirrel through all the through all the stuff, and he's trying to follow him and everything.
Yeah. It was no music.
There's no AC/DC track. There's nothing, this is not Iron Man. This is not,
Like, yeah, it's a different story.
It's a completely different thing. Cause when he jumped out of the plane the first time, it was reminiscent of the time, I think, Iron Man 2, when Tony, you know, kind of did the little backwards fall out of the plane or something. And the same thing
in Winter Soldier where Cap, like, did he just jump without a parachute? Like, yeah. He just kind of, like, steps off the end of the plane.
Yeah, but there was no music, and it was like, I remember, like, in Iron Man, obviously, there was always music. There was always something.
Always some AC/DC going.
Yeah.
So it begins with that scene. There is a plane that they're tracking, the Army or Air Force. He's back with the Air Force.
Right.
They're tracking. Batroc's team, their group is known as the LAF. Now, I looked it up in the Marvel Universe. There is no LAF group from the comics. Mm-hmm. Batroc did have his own group called Batroc's Brigade. Maybe this is like some form of that. I don't know. So they steal this military officer, and they're trying to get him back before they cross the Libyan border. Because once they cross the border, it's out of their hands. They can't do anything with him.
Right. The Air Force is trying to get him.
Yeah, the Air Force. Yeah.
Not Batroc.
Yeah.
They've already got him.
Yeah, Batroc's already got him. Sam goes in for basically like a low stealth reconnaissance mission to see where they are. When he realizes they've already taken over the plane, when he flies onto the plane, looks through the front window and sees the pilot is dead. So yeah. Like they've already took over the plane.
They already got the plane.
So, and what I thought was a really cool scene, he deploys Red Wing to cut open the door, and he just flies his ass in the plane, just like, bam, here I am, son, and just starts going to town on these people.
Yeah. Very tight, difficult to fight as the Falcon in an extremely tight area, which is the plane.
Yeah.
So you get to see him showing off some of the hand-to-hand and fighting against multiple assailants.
Yes.
And also a really cool scene where he gets fired on with a gun in the you see the wings form a shield.
That's pretty cool. Protecting.
Very cool. Like that, they did that a couple of times with him on this one. And I like seeing more options for those wings. You know, I want him to have some depth, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want him to just be the guy that flies.
No, and they're setting him up in that scene to show you that he's worthy of having that shield. Like, the whole action scene, after they jump out of the plane, like you said, there was no music, they're flying through the air. They get picked up by a couple of helicopters, Batroc and his men. Falcon keeps on flying after him to try to catch up with him, and then these other planes come in and start going after him. He deploys Red Wing to try to, you know, get him off of his tail. That whole flying sequence through the canyons and stuff was, like, super cool.
Very.
And then
sorry for the surrounding area. Just everywhere they go, everywhere the Avengers go, everything around them gets fucking hammered.
Yeah, it does. Batroc and the officer that they kidnapped, they go into a helicopter and they're still trying to get away. Falcon's trying to catch them. And what I thought was a super cool, because it's like they're getting close to the border, and his support on the ground is telling him, like, look, let him go. We'll figure out another plan. They're about to cross the border. He just like goes into like Sonic Jet mode.
Well, you skipped a section where they get to the first helicopter.
Like, oh, wait, slides right in and just sits down.
So Batroc says to the guy, he's like, once we cross
the border,
they're not coming for you.
Yeah,
you know they can't follow. And then there he is in the seat, and I'm just like, just grab the dude and just jump out with him. I mean, fly away.
Yeah.
They got squirrel suits. I mean, they can't do nothing but glide, you know. But, I mean, very cool, the whole gliding stuff.
Yeah.
There's a couple of times where, like, they showed him, like, kind of glide up next to the helicopter and just kind of slip in, and I was just like, if they did that, like, practical, that dude is a baller.
Yeah.
Because I would be terrified. Oh,
dude. I don't want to think about trying to do that, like, as myself. No.
Oh, no. God, no. No. You could never do it. No. I could never do it.
No. So he shoots through the opening of the helicopter and grabs, and at all this time, there's heat-seeking missiles locked onto him.
The scene where he's doing, you know, basically aerial acrobatics to keep these missiles from hitting him, really just incredible and gorgeous.
Yes.
Gorgeous. Fight sequence, and where, you know, he like It's hard. He's a guy with wings, man.
Yeah.
It's awesome to see a guy with wings, but he's got so much more, like the technology, but also just his knowledge of flight is shown. Like,
yeah,
you know,
he understands it.
There was a scene where he's coming from next to a rock face, and there's all this dust and shit on him, and he covers up his face because he's getting hit with stuff, and then he pulls his hands away, and he's about to go face first into a rotor blade from a helicopter, and just like full stop, wings fold, flip up. I was like, God,
yeah,
damn. Now I know it's,
he knows it's,
I know it's
backwards and forwards.
It's a show, but still, what a great move! What a great sequence!
So good,
fantastic.
So he flies through the helicopter. He grabs the hijacked officer, knocks Batroc out of the helicopter as well. The missiles hit the helicopter, they explode. Batroc, you know, falls. He's not dead.
He didn't knock him out. Batroc jumped out.
Yeah.
After he took the kid.
Okay. Yeah, he did jump out. You're right. So Batroc's going to show up at some point again, I would assume. He's not dead.
Well, no. I mean, you know, that guy, he fell out. He was still wearing a glider suit.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll find a way.
Yeah. So after they rescue the officer, they go to a scene where they're in – Sam's sitting with the lieutenant that's been helping him on the ground. Joaquin Torres is his name.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting at a table. Sam's working on some looks like a little – board, probably from his flight suit that got damaged.
No, it was something from Red Wing. And
oh, yeah.
Remember, he got shot.
He did get shot.
He got shot, right. And it damaged it, and it had to reroute the power so mm-hmm. that he could use the thrusters. And that's what he was working on. He's working on that. And he said, every time I give it to you guys, he comes back all janky or glitchy or something.
Yeah, and that's where we learned that he's been back working with the Air Force for the past 6 months. So basically, this takes place 6 months after the blip, where everyone came back.
So the 6 months after the end of Endgame.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the timeline we're working at. And I think it's the same with WandaVision as well. The way they made it look like it wasn't that long till she goes to S.W.O.R.D. to try to go see Vision and get his body back.
Yeah.
Where she leaves from there and goes to the plot of land that he bought for them to build a house and didn't
choose. We don't need to.
Yeah. We
missed our chance to talk about WandaVision.
Yeah. But yeah, we're 6 months removed from the blip, and you have someone that comes up to him and starts speaking to him in Arabic, saying, you know, you brought my wife back to me and stuff. But he doesn't realize that Sam has also been gone for 5 years.
Well,
like he was part of the blip as well. So
yeah, he was. Didn't
really, I mean, he helped, sure, the big battle, but I mean, like, he lost 5 years of his life as well to this.
Yeah,
and that's a thing I'm seeing with. Not to talk about WandaVision again, but with WandaVision and with this series with both Sam and Bucky, it's about emotional trauma and loss. And it's about how to cope in this new post-Thanos world where all these people came back. Things were completely different during that time. Lieutenant Torres talks about how there's this new group that he's been following called the Flag Smashers, who liked the way things were in the blip world.
Right.
Now, the Flag Smashers, that is from Marvel Comics, but it was one person.
Right.
It wasn't one guy. It wasn't a group of people. And he was described as a right-wing conservative in the comics, and he was very anti-patriotism. He didn't like what Captain America stood for.
Right.
So now they're introducing that concept as a organization that they're going to have to deal with at some point. So Lieutenant Torres is also quizzing him about, like, you know, there's rumors about Captain America we've been hearing. Like, y'all have got him, you know, he's up
on the moon. Yeah.
Hanging out on a moon base. And he's like,
I wonder if he's dead.
Well, that's what I was getting to next. So Sam gets up to go to leave, and he's like, where are you going? He's like, I got to get back to D.C. What are you doing there? I'm doing moon stuff. And you go, and it seems like he is at a memorial for Captain America. He says he's no longer here. And he decides he doesn't want the shield. He's giving it to the Captain America Museum to put in the museum. They never say if he died. We don't know if they covered that up after old Steve Rogers shows up with the shield at the end of Endgame to give to Sam, and they say that Captain America possibly died during the battle with Thanos.
I don't know. And I think that...
Because there's still some confusion about the whole Captain America, with him going back and putting the stones back. And, like, is this an alternate universe Captain America? Because Captain America would have... If he didn't become Captain America, he just went back and just stayed with Peggy.
Right.
Then that Captain America never existed in this universe.
Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Okay.
Okay, so the way it works and the way that they talk about time travel in Endgame is if you go into the past...
The past is your future.
The past is your future. So if Steve Rogers from Endgame time goes back in time to return all of the pieces of, all the different Infinity Stones, right?
Yeah.
One of the places he has to go is back to the S.H.I.E.L.D. base, right? Where
in the 70s.
Peggy is living, working, yeah. Right? And he knows that he can probably get more Pym particles there and, potentially even bring himself back all the way. So the possibility is that Peggy was going to work every day at S.H.I.E.L.D. and coming home to Steve Rogers as her husband while his 1940 whatever body is still in the ice. Okay? They do not have to overlap. There doesn't have to be one. We've already seen, like, he fought himself, in Endgame. So there's no, it doesn't matter if the two of them, same time frame, the timeline will continue. That Steve Rogers that's in the ice will become Captain America again, and then he will fight through all these things and eventually get to the point where he decides he wants to go back in time and do the things again. That
it is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Is, in theory, what happened. So, we don't need to get off on that.
No, that's a whole nother podcast altogether.
Everything is a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
So, now you've got, Sam was given the shield by Steve Rogers. He says it's yours, right?
He says it doesn't feel like his.
He believes that Sam was the guy to carry the shield. So now, Sam doesn't feel worthy. Is it possible that Steve is dead? Maybe, because I would think that he would never give it back while Steve was alive and had personally given it to him.
Yeah. It's.
Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I
don't think he goes against his wishes while he's still alive and can say something about it.
Well, I think he was okay about going against his wishes until the end of the episode, and we'll get to that. But first, we'll continue with do we believe Steve Rogers is dead, or did they cover it up to make it think like Captain America died during the battle with Thanos?
I think that whatever the official story is, which is the government story, which is why Captain America is not here anymore,
yeah,
could be that he died in the battle to bring everybody back. And the reality is he went back in time. He got, he lived his life. He got older. He had a life with Peggy, and now he gives the shield up. And I think, I'm just saying, 6 months later, okay?
Yeah.
6 months later, I have to believe that 6 months later, Steve has passed, okay? And that is why he gives the shield back now. He didn't give it back right away. He held on to it for 6 months, okay? So if Steve died, then he would have only himself and what Steve had wished to deal with, right? And that's completely different from going and giving it back to the government while Steve's alive and can go, man, I gave that to you.
Yeah. I mean, it could be like a Schrodinger's cat thing. He's both alive and dead.
Who knows? I think he's kind of.
See him.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah. All right. So moving on from there, after the ceremony, you see Sam talking with Rhodey, who is there, and asking him why didn't he take up the mantle and all this stuff, which leads to a scene moving to Bucky's story, where you're seeing this building and these people are apparently going out for a drink. This one guy's like, no, I've got some stuff I got to work on for our presentation tomorrow. So he's going up to his room. And then you see some guys that look like bodyguards walking with this one dude. And then, bam, here comes the Winter Soldier. And you know it's the Winter Soldier. You know it's old school because Bucky's got the long hair. He's got the silver arm.
And he's got the red star on
his arm. He's got the red star on it. So you know this is a flashback or whatever.
Right.
So he goes and takes this guy out. And the one guy that was going to his room happened to be being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Trying to get into his room. And Bucky is like, you know, the guy's begging for his life, basically. Saying, I didn't see anything. And Bucky takes him out. Bucky wakes up. He's having a nightmare.
Here's a tip. If you should see something that you're not supposed to see,
just keep going.
Don't say, I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
You're just telling everyone, I saw something.
You saw everything.
Because if you just keep walking and act like you didn't see it, they have to decide. And you might still get killed, but at least you got a fighting chance.
Yeah. So Bucky wakes up from that nightmare, and the next shot you see of him, he's in a therapist office, which is part of his pardon that she says that, like, you have to go to therapy, you know, for your past crimes and stuff. So he's talking with her, and it's known that he has a list of people that he's trying to make amends with.
Right.
So he talks about one with a senator's aide, or she's a senator.
Yeah, I think she's the senator.
Yeah, about how she was part of Hydra and he helped get her into the ranks of Hydra or whatever.
Or so, he helped her get into being a senator.
Being a senator, yes. So, you know, and as he's talking, they're going over the three rules that he's supposed to abide by.
Right.
And he's breaking a couple of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he did say that he is not the Winter Soldier.
He is not the Winter
Soldier. James Bucky Barnes.
That's it. So he gets this senator and gets the police called on her. They arrest her or whatever. He can mark her off his list. And you could tell Bucky out of everyone should be having the hardest. I mean, not only was he on the ice, but like he's been brainwashed since the 1940s. He's been this hitman whose memory gets erased pretty much every time he's done with a mission. They put him back in cold storage until they need him again. He gets out of it, runs back into Captain America. They're trying to, like, you know, get him taken care of. He goes to Wakanda. He gets fixed. He's living the life as the White Wolf there in Wakanda, his only time of peace, and he says that to her. Mm-hmm. And then here comes Thanos. The blip happens. He disappears for 5 years. He comes back. And it's like, what the hell happened? This dude has had the most trouble adjusting to life out of anyone.
Well, he even said it, you know, when the doctor says, you know, you're full of shit or whatever about wanting peace. And he goes, look, for 90 years, it was one battle after the next.
Yeah.
Every time I woke up, it was another fight. And I had a moment of peace. A moment of calm is what he said.
Yeah,
in Wakanda. But then, you know, it found me again. And he is, man, what a character.
Dude.
You know, what an interesting character. And we can get into this, you know, huge, but the shit that this kid's gone through, man.
Yeah.
Just enormous, enormous amount of strain and
it's a deep character. As someone that was back in, you know, the 1940s, he was Cap's sidekick, Bucky.
Right.
And for them to bring him back and make him the Winter Soldier and just make it to like, oh, he's just been brainwashed and alive all these years. He's had the Super Soldier Serum.
Right.
And like he's our personal hitman. And then you learn in Captain America Civil War, there was a group of them. There was a whole squad of Winter Soldiers, apparently. But we're not talking about that. We're moving on here. So after the scene with the therapist, he is meeting up with this Asian man, this older Asian gentleman, who I first thought was the guy.
Guy from the Howling Commandos.
Yes.
I thought the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's the dude. It's like probably like the last guy from the Howling Commandos that's still alive.
Exactly. Right?
But it's not.
No.
It's not. I thought it was because he was getting all feisty, and I was just like, he's just like that other dude.
That'd have been great.
But no, completely different reason.
Yeah. So he meets up with him. They go to have lunch at this restaurant where the old guy basically just hooks him up with the girl working behind the counter.
Bro, hook me up.
Yeah, she was a cutie. But, you know, Bucky's just not used to this whole thing. And he's like, man, it's a dance.
I know.
I haven't danced since 1943.
Yeah.
I was like, 47?
I don't know. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
A long, long time ago.
Yeah. So, this whole dating thing is new to him. So, he sets them up on a date. The girl agrees, like, I'm working the shift until 10. Come by afterwards.
Right.
And at that time, the Asian gentleman sees a plate of red bean mochi, which is like an ice cream or whatever, and start.
It's not an ice cream, but it is a confection.
They have red bean mochi at the place over here.
It's not ice cream.
Okay, all right. What's a confection? Sorry. Here you go again. I know. Keep me on my toes because we screwed up I screwed up so much on the
red bean
mochi.
I messed up with Tom.
But he sees that, and it draws back to a memory of his son who was working overseas, who was murdered.
Yes.
But it's been breaking this dude's heart because he doesn't know why.
Right.
All the police told him was like, wrong place, wrong time.
Right. And I got to tell you, up to this point, it had completely skipped my mind that this guy could be related to that kid.
100%.
I was just like, well, what a nice relationship he's got. That was why I thought, I really thought it was the guy from the Howling Commandos. I really did.
Yeah.
I was like, why would he just be friend with this random dude? But then you find out that he is the father of the young man that had passed, and you go, oh, right.
Yep. I'm atoning for my sin with this guy that I murdered, who is this old man's son.
Right.
But he can't come out and tell him, hey, I murdered your kid.
Yeah, he can't tell. How could you explain that? You can't.
Yeah.
Hey, look. So, back in 1947,
yeah.
Me and Captain America were on this train, and I fell off the train.
I lost my arm.
And then, nobody's believing that shit.
No,
I mean,
at all.
You could have even seen all the Avengers and all the other stuff up close and personal, and somebody started spinning that shit, and they're like, and that's why I killed your son.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, all of everything before that would be just absolute horse shit. Up to the I killed your son.
But it made me think, like, did he always know that's who that guy was, or did he realize it as he was talking to the girl when they were on their date?
He knew. He knew because remember, after the date, when he walks out, he goes to the guy's house.
Yeah.
He sees the memorial. He gives him the money from the thing. But he was going there to tell him. He was going to accept the fucking pain that he was going to get from this man, his only friend, I guess, that he's hanging out with, and he's going to go and he's going to suck it up and deal with it. And then he opens the door and he sees it and he just can't do it.
It's like, here's the money.
He gives him the money. And then you see the book, and the number one name on the book is circled, and that is this guy. So he knew. He did not just go seek this man out just out of sheer, just pure accident.
Yeah,
he knows he's hard. It's hard for him to deal with it. And the scene where she's talking about When you lose your spouse, you're a widower, and when you lose your parents, you're an orphan. But what happens when you're a parent and you lose your child?
Yeah, there's no name.
And I'm just like, oh my God.
Like all these deep things you guys keep putting in.
Why are y'all, y'all are killing me. The other thing, and we kind of skipped over this real fast, was I never thought real hard about what would happen to a society that was suddenly, that had a sudden influx of billions of people.
Yeah.
And not just, not some spaceship showed up to Earth and said, hey, we're stranded and we need a place to live. This is people that were lost.
Yeah, it came back instantly.
And then they're back.
Yeah.
And their families are different. And maybe the girl that they were dating is not, you know, and there's so many things.
Yeah, people come, like Sam said, like when I left, my nephews were like, you know, 10 years old. Now they're like, or like, you know, they were young.
They were kids. They were little kids.
Now they're grown.
You know, now they're growing up.
Well, you see that in the, to go, not to call back to WandaVision, but this is a good example. When Monica Rambeau comes back from the blip in the hospital, that's the last place she was when her mother was there dying of cancer.
Marvel's doing a really good job of trying to just illustrate just how chaotic this thing was.
Yeah, the impact on the world.
I mean, the initial chaos of everyone going, but they're gone, right?
Yeah.
And it sucks, and it's terrible, and you grieve, but they're gone.
Yeah.
Now, you're not expecting them back.
No, because you don't know what happens.
Right.
So you go and rebuild
your
life.
And you're trying to move, and you're trying to go forward, and then suddenly here's everyone back again.
Yeah.
And now, what do you tell the guy who's like, man, look, I blinked, and 5 years is gone. I don't have my job anymore. You know,
you
what
might
do
not
I
have your wife.
I might not have any, you know, there's so many things. There's so many levels to this that I never really thought hard about because, you know, Endgame was the superhero movie. You know, it was the big superhero fight. And everybody showed up and it was a big fight. But I was like, man, that is going to be some shit. They're going to have a lot to deal with. And I never really thought about it.
Yeah. Here's a little tidbit I just saw in this article. So Joaquin Torres, the Sam's guy that was on the ground, he was talking to, in the comics, becomes Falcon when Sam becomes Captain America.
Interesting.
That's pretty interesting. But getting back to Sam's story, so Sam goes back to Louisiana where his family is.
Right.
I like the Louisiana references of some LSU stuff going on.
Delacroix.
Yeah, Delacroix. That's down there at St. Bernard Parish, man.
The parish.
He's going back to help out his sister, who apparently has been keeping their family's fishing boat going,
right,
trying to make money off of that during all this time while he's been gone. Obviously not doing a good job, but we're just struggling just because things have been so different. Now you've got, like you said, this influx of people back in. Now what does the world look like now? Things have changed since all these people came back. So he comes up with a plan to, like, I'm going to help you get a loan so we can save the family business and you can keep this going.
I wonder, the woman that plays his sister,
mm-hmm,
do you know where she's from?
I do not.
Because she...
she looks familiar. It's like I've seen her in something else.
I don't know if it's just me hearing it because they're supposed to be in Louisiana, but the way that some of the things that she says and some of the things that he says to some of the people at the docks and stuff is so very Louisiana, you know, the kind of the back and forth of it and the jokes and the I'm trying to be like you and all this. And
yeah,
there's a lot of little Louisiana stuff in there. And I'm sure that happens all over the place. But
she was born in Nigeria and raised in Brooklyn.
Well, there you go. They got her timbre of her voice to sound like somebody from Louisiana.
Yeah,
so she does a really good job. And we should know, we hear Louisiana voices all the time.
Yeah, we do. So they try to go get a bank loan. Unfortunately, it just does not work because things are different. Sam's been gone for 5 years. I don't know if she's been gone for 5 years, but he's been gone.
No,
She's
been there. She was there with the kids.
I like – it was a good question the bank guy asked Sam? Like, did you make any money when you were with the Avengers? Like, how did that work? Tony Stark flipped, you know, did he give you guys money? And he's like, no, it was through donations and goodwill that they survived. Right. So it's like, yeah, Tony gave him a place to live.
Yeah.
But, like, for money. I mean, you even hear Sam – I mean, you hear Cap and Sam talk about this in Age of Ultron at the party they're having before Ultron makes his first appearance, when he's talking about looking for a place to live. And he's like, everything's so expensive. You know, he wants to live back in Brooklyn where he grew up at.
Right.
But everything, you know, it's too expensive for him.
Right.
So where – how do you get money? How do you make money as a superhero?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you can't take – corporate money, because now you're beholden to some corporation. And
he did say he had some government contracts, yeah, which showed income.
That another thing that goes into the whole, what happens when you're gone for 5 years? And Nakai says, you know, you had no income for 5 years, and he goes, yeah, I was gone,
yeah,
like a billion other people. And having worked in a bank, you know, I know that there's only certain things you can and can't do. And if he's got some sort of, you know, they're like, hey, they have to meet, you have to meet these kind of things, that kind of thing, whatever, you know, it you don't really have a whole lot of options. He did say the whole thing about, like, you know, when he was trying to figure out where he's from, did you play for LSU?
Yeah.
And he didn't say he played for LSU. I don't think Sam played for LSU in any sport, but I think it was just like, in Louisiana, when you're somebody you've seen or recognize, usually it's a sports related something.
Yeah.
You know,
especially in Louisiana.
That's what I said, in Louisiana. Yeah.
You just like, hey, you look like
you. Did you play for the Saints? Or did you play, you know, you play for LSU or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thing. So he's unsuccessful with that. They can't get the loan. So he's trying to figure out another way. Torres contacts him because Torres was following some people that were with the Flag Smashers, who were gathering for some kind of event. And walks.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Up to someone's like, how, what do we do? Like, where are we supposed to go? Then somebody does this whistle, and then someone shows up with a bag and starts handing out masks to everyone, the mask of a big hand imprint on the front of it. Mm-hmm. So everybody starts putting on these masks, and then all of a sudden you hear explosions and stuff go off, and this guy jumps out of a window and lands superhero style with two bags of apparently cash. They were robbing a Swiss bank, is what I remember.
The message was to run and create
chaos so they can get away. They kept switching the bags between people in the crowd, so they couldn't get a lock on anybody. The cops are showing up. So Torres sees one of the main guys and tries to stop him. This dude just kicked a guy, like, literally across the street. So right there we're dealing with some kind of superhuman guy.
Right.
He's got some kind of powers. We don't know who that could be. And he takes Torres down very quickly, boot to the face, he's out. So when he gets up, when he's finally awake and the cops come and are sorting through all the chaos, he sends a video to Sam to show him, like, and Sam's like, I thought you weren't supposed to get involved, like you were just going to be you know, watching these guys. He's like, well, you know, shit happens or whatever.
Something I noticed about that sequence, this guy was done. He was out.
Oh, yeah.
He saw a police officer, like, grabbing someone and trying to arrest him. And he took it upon himself to go. And this was not somebody that was the Flag Smasher guy.
Yeah.
Right? He did not have to go help this kid.
No, at all.
Right? But he went over there and he kicked the cop. So what you're seeing is, it's not just financial. They're not just after money. This guy's something idyllic in him about government or his beliefs or whatever. So that's going to be a factor.
Yeah.
Because he could, if it was just about money, he could have just cruised on and let that kid get taken down and wouldn't have bothered him one bit.
Absolutely.
But for him to go over there and, you know, interfere in that, there's your first indication of what you're dealing with, you know, as far as political reasoning behind what they're doing.
Yeah. So Sam sees this information, and then right after that, goes to the TV, and there's some kind of politician there making a speech.
Yeah, the guy that he gave the shield to.
Yeah, you're right. It was the guy I gave the shield to. Just talking about America, and it's time for America to have a new hero and all this stuff. And you know, like, this isn't going well. We know where this is going. So they introduce a government sanction, a government chosen new Captain America. So this guy comes out. He's got the shield. Sam's
got
like,
the
what?
Outfit.
You got the outfit. Sam's like, what the fuck? And you see a close up of this guy right as the, you see it at the end, then credits. So if you're a comic book person, you know the story about this. This guy takes Captain America's place. His name's John Walker. He gained, and I don't know how they're going to explain this, if he even has superpowers in this show. In the comic books, he got the powers from a company called Power Broker Incorporated, who created a drug to try to mimic the super soldier serum to give people superpowers.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of a very slim list of people who actually survived the process. It either deformed people that took it, or it just straight up killed them.
Right.
So it successfully adapted to him in the comics. He becomes Captain America when Captain America is starting to have issues with the government, and they just pull the plug on him, like, you're done. We own that shield. We own that suit. Take it off. That's when he becomes, in the comics, he becomes the character Nomad. That happens for a while. So eventually, John Walker becomes Captain America, and then Steve Rogers gets the uniform back, and then John Walker takes on the role of U.S. agent, who flip-flops from bad guy to good guy, bad guy to good guy. He actually led the West Coast Avengers for a while in the comics.
Yeah, I remember.
So I don't know where they're going. I mean,
well, it's way too early. I mean, you see one vision of the guy, and he looks goofy.
He looks goofy as hell.
I
mean, this is going to be the way to get Sam to realize, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have gave the shield up.
Well, I mean, you can see, and not to give spoilers, if you've seen any of the trailers, you see him with the shield.
Yeah, you see him throwing the shield at his home in Delacroix. Like Delacroix. Jesus, can't talk. It's been a long weekend. He's throwing the shield in the yard and stuff.
Right.
So, like, he gets the shield back. Something happens and he gets the shield back. When does he get it back? We don't know. We don't know where in the timeline of this story
that takes place. There's not – that, you know, it's a good – I'd say it's a solid first episode. It is meant to put us in the state of mind of these characters, where they are, what's going to happen is questionable. And like all things Marvel, who knows what the fuck could happen. I mean, we do know certain things from the comics, but that doesn't mean that they have to stick to it in any form or fashion.
No, you're seeing what they're doing with these shows. They're taking plot elements from a bunch of different storylines, like with WandaVision. They covered so much in WandaVision, stuff from the Vision and Scarlet Witch original miniseries, from House of M, from the Vision miniseries they did a few years back with Tom King. That is amazing. If you have not read that, go read that series. It is awesome. West Coast Avengers storylines, they pulled from so many different areas, and I feel like that's going to be the thing going forward, except the Loki series might be the different one, because it's basically going to be him going through different time periods, and there's a time patrol company or whatever that watches over all that stuff in the Marvel Universe. That's what Owen Wilson in the trailer, he's in charge of it. I can't remember, it's the Time Bureau or something like that. And that's how they get Loki. And I don't know if they use him as an agent for them or whatever.
Interesting.
Because him going back through time is screwing up everything. If you think about it. I mean, if he's going through and just changing,
I don't know which
scenarios.
Loki it is.
We don't know which Loki. Well, it's supposedly the Loki from Avengers. In the Avengers, it's not the Loki we know and see in Thor Ragnarok. It's the Loki from the first Avengers movie. That's the one when the cosmic cube comes out of the case and lands by his foot, he picks it up and disappears. That's the Loki we're dealing with. The steel
now, that thing
mischievous
is just
evil
space.
Loki.
That's just space transport. That's not time transport. The cube is not. It's not time.
It's not
just space.
But it's taking you different areas. Like, could Loki manipulate it to take?
I don't know. But what I'm saying is, it's not the time stone.
No. It's not the time stone. No, it's not that. But it might take Loki to a spot where the Time Bureau catches him, and then they plant him in different. Like, they may be using him to fix things, because maybe when Cap put all the stones back, it still created all these offset. Because we know the multiverse is coming; it's happening,
right?
So this could be a way for them to try to fix some of these timelines before Doctor Strange and that movie comes out next March. I don't know.
Don't know.
But yeah, solid first episode of The Falcon and Winter Soldier. I am pumped. Yeah. I'm liking the whole Winter Soldier vibe of the show.
Right.
Because that's next to Endgame, that's still my favorite Marvel movie.
I like I don't want to spend all the time talking about WandaVision, but WandaVision was in no way grounded in any sort of reality other than a person's Wanda's pain.
Yeah.
And what a great series after the fact, thinking about it and the stuff that they talk about. But so that was a fantastical retelling of this tale, right?
Yeah.
That was going on with them. This is as real or grounded in reality as a Marvel Universe movie can be.
Yeah, it's definitely more in the vein of the Captain America and the Winter Soldier. That movie felt like a spy movie more than it did a superhero film, and I feel like that's the direction they're going to go with. If this connects with anything, it would connect with Black Widow, and I heard rumors that like this. So Falcon and Winter Soldier was supposed to be the first Marvel series to drop, not WandaVision,
right?
And apparently, something in Black Widow was going to connect to Falcon and Winter Soldier. So that's why I was curious as to why they let WandaVision come out first and then drop Falcon and Winter Soldier 2 months before they're going to drop Black Widow. Did they move something? Did they take something that was going to connect in that movie out, and that's going to be something they put at the end of this series to connect it to Black Widow instead?
I don't know. And that's what's fun. Is that you don't know.
You don't know.
And it's something's going to happen, and you're going to go, oh, damn.
Yeah, we learned our lesson with The Mandalorian. We're like, all right, well, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to happen.
We got a little too big for our britches.
Yeah, we did. As did everyone with WandaVision, saying, oh, well, Mephisto's showing up, and Doctor Strange's showing up, and all this. Like, and everybody was wrong, and then everybody got pissed. I'm like, I'm glad I was wrong, and I'm totally happy with the ending of that series.
I was a little disappointed, but you have to remember that the main bad guy in that move in that whole series is Wanda.
Yeah, it really is.
And she's struggling with depression, and she's struggling with sadness and grief and loss.
Agatha didn't help. She manipulated her.
No, she didn't help
as well.
But it was all born out of that.
Yeah, her loss.
And,
she lost her family. She lost her brother. Now she lost the Synthezoid she loved.
Twice.
She had to watch him die twice.
She had to kill him once.
Yeah.
And then watch him die again by somebody else.
So, and then to go into that sword facility and see him in pieces, and she's like trying to see if he's still there, and she's like, I can't feel you.
Right.
And it's like, that's what she goes to that plot of land, and she starts, all that stuff just builds up, and finally she's just like,
we're not going to always do this.
No, it's just, I mean,
hey listener, this is not the WandaVision rap show. We shit the bed, we missed our chance. We can't help but bring it up, but now Falcon and Winter Soldier is what we're going to talk about going forward.
Yeah,
and the only time we will ever bring up WandaVision,
so that's a reference, is because it's the only other Marvel series
for some reason something refers back to that series. Otherwise, I'm staying off of it.
And I don't think it will. I don't think it's going to.
Then we won't talk about it.
I don't think. I did read that this takes place. It's 6 months, but it's in between. Falcon and Winter Soldier is in between WandaVision and Spider-Man No Way Home.
What I just said.
I'm just putting the timeline in there.
No, we ain't talking about it.
Putting the timeline in there.
I'm just trying to. People don't want to hear it.
They do want. They want to know. They want to know, like, where does this take place? Is this a year after Endgame? Is this like it's 6 months?
Well, we figured out 6 months. Six months after Endgame.
But that's the order of it. It's WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Spider-Man Far From Home.
I only watched Far From Home once.
It's so good.
I didn't say it wasn't good. I just said I only watched it once. So it's hard for me to remember certain things that would
Mysterio
put it in time, you know, like what in the flow of the universal time would it be?
I mean, it starts off talking about the blip.
Yeah, well, they all do. Everything does.
Yeah, I mean,
everything does. It's an enormous.
It's a big deal.
Plot point.
Yeah,
enormous.
It's a thing that happened. I've got to get to Cody on. He's watched all the Marvel films. Twice, I think he's going back and rewatched them again, but he's never seen the Ed Norton Incredible Hulk, which it's good. It links up the movies, but I told him, like, if you didn't see it, Mark Ruffalo's introduction as the Hulk in the Avengers is fine. You're good with that.
Yeah,
and he hasn't seen the new Spider-Man movies.
I think
you should watch them just for the fact that they're just good. Well, movies.
I liked them. Yeah. I liked them. You know, when it comes to the time frame, I guess, it doesn't really matter.
No, but they're just good movies to watch. I mean, sure. I feel like you have to watch Far From Home because that's going to lead straight into No Way Home this December, like with that ending, with the bonus scene.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm not going to bring it up.
Don't say it.
I mean, the movie's 2 years old. You should probably have seen it by now.
You should have.
Think about that, dude. There was no Marvel movies in last year. None. And we're getting 4 this year.
Yeah, well.
We're getting Black Widow in May, so, Shang-Chi and the Master of the Ten Rings, then The Eternals, then Spider-Man in December. On top of Loki, What If, and Ms. Marvel, I think, comes out this year as well on Disney+.
Dude.
Oh,
2020
Marvel.
Was the blip.
It was the blip. It blipped out all the Marvel movies.
It blipped out everything. All right, man.
Yep, that's it. All right, so this will continue on for 5 more weeks. There's only 6 episodes of Falcon and Winter Soldier. So we'll move on to the next thing after this is done. Yeah. Once we know
when. We don't even know what that's going to be.
No, I'm thinking the next one after this series is over, we'll do an episode talking about Black Widow. That drops May 7th, I think. There's discussions right now. Disney's been very adamant about this movie's releasing in theaters. It's releasing in theaters. And now they're kind of like saying, we'll make a decision on that last second. I feel like they're going to go the $30 Disney Plus route where you buy the movie.
Fuck that noise.
Dude, let me tell you something.
$30?
I'll buy it in a heartbeat, and I'll tell you why I'll buy it in a heartbeat. I took Ridley to go see Raya and the Last Dragon a couple weeks ago for us to go to the movies, and I was like, I'm pumped for this. I haven't been to a movie since August when I watched The New Mutants. Like, I want to see a movie in a theater. There were a few people there. Everybody was socially distanced. Everybody had their mask on. Every time somebody got up, they put their mask on. It was well handled. I spent $60 at the movie theater. It's the one thing I don't miss. For 2 tickets and snacks. $30, I get that movie at my house as long as I have my Disney subscription, which that ain't going anywhere. I can watch it anytime I want. Pause it. I got food at my house. I will happily pay $30. I'm going to pay $30 for it when it comes out for digital download. So why not pay for it now? And I've got it on Disney. There it goes.
Why do you need digital download? Why don't you just stream it when it streams?
Because when they come out, I tend to buy them. And I'll buy the digital download of the movies. But that's what I'm saying. I'll have it already. I paid the $30 and it's on Disney Plus. I can watch it anytime I want.
I mean, I get it. I get it. I mean, you're talking to a guy that'll spend $30 for a fucking record when I could just download it.
This is true. So, it's a thing. I'm still going to go to the theater and see Black Widow because I hadn't seen a Marvel movie in a theater in 2 years. So I'm going to want that experience on a big screen.
Yeah. I need to go get vaccinated.
Shot 2 coming up April 6th for me. Super excited about
good.
It.
Good.
Yeah. All right, we've strayed off.
All right.
Like I said, 5 more episodes of
just
this.
Just like normal.
Yep, just like the old days. Hope you guys enjoyed. If you've got any questions or comments, keep them to yourself. No, I'm just picking.
Do we have any way for people to actually send us questions and comments? We keep telling people, hey, send us questions and comments, and then we don't tell them how.
No, I'm going to.
So maybe we don't want to hear them, or we do want to hear them.
No, if you, I'm going to give my email address out for this. Because it's fun.
Your email? You're just gonna get spam.
I get spam anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Porn.
No, it's the other stuff. Damn it. Made my head lock up. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast, email them to chuckp23@gmail.com. We will read your questions on the podcast if they're worthy. So make them good.
If they're worthy. If anybody sends us anything, we're reading it.
Yeah, Maloney doesn't count because we know Maloney's going
to
be listening.
I'm just saying, anybody that wants to send anything to us, chuckp23@gmail.com. Yeah. I don't care if it's a recipe for a bundt cake. We're going to read it on the podcast.
And possibly make it and feature it as a taste test.
There you go.
There you go. So, yes, questions, comments about any Marvel show or movie, if you have a question. But specifically,
or if you have an idea of something that you'd like for us to discuss.
Yeah.
We are speaking on whatever.
Because we have spoken. So, for Chuck P., and Michael Grimion, I'm Chuck P. For Michael Grimion, I'm Chuck P. I need to get home. It's been a long weekend.
Yeah.
My brain's scattered.
Sleep.
We'll see you guys next time. And until that time, this is the way.